you probably have forgotten already. Some of you wouldn't have, but some of you wouldn't have. And it's pretty easy. It's Ezekiel 1:1. And now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Kabar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. And I think what we really need, if you're going to be writing notes, is the preciseness of those dates, that it is recorded, was recorded. And you sort of say, as you open your heart up to this moulding into the Christian lifestyle, into this making a man or a woman of God, you might say, I can't remember when all of this started 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Well, what I'm saying, it's 2020, and maybe the month is March, and maybe we can do a computer reset, press the button and say reset, and make this a significant time in your Christian walk. As to what Ezekiel, that's there, it's easy, we can use it to this day. And God was laying out a prophetic plan for Ezekiel's life in these scriptures that we will be looking at. On a larger scope, it lays out the prophetic plans for the lives of everyone. Say everyone. That can be saints, that can be ministers, that can be children of God. And if we search, there's an abundance of treasures, an abundance of treasures to be found in these chapters that we will be looking at. And without going into what we studied 2 weeks ago, all I want to say, note the precise and accuracy of the dates. And what we want to have a peep at today is the location. And he was among the captives by the river Kabar. I won't go any further than the heavens were open, and that we've got plenty of time to be able to do that stuff. But note the dates. We've looked at that. Now we'll look at where he was. That river of Kabar, there is some dispute by the historians, by the theologians. It's probably a tributary of the Euphrates. Have you ever heard of the Euphrates River? And that's in the book of Genesis. But if it's not, don't worry about it. It's a river. And it's interesting to note, when you sort of are studying that, he was a captive. And I would probably offer up this morning, sometimes we find ourselves as captives. We have the shackles on our hands and around our feet, and we can't do what we want to do. People say to me, if only. The favourite one is, if only I didn't have such and such a sickness. Or another favourite one, if only if I had a bag full of money. Yeah. And you sort of put yourself, okay, in the captive role. And here's Ezekiel, he was a captive, and he was with, obviously, the other captives. And he was on assignment. Not that he wanted the assignment, but probably doing something for the king under duress. It cannot be exactly confirmed, as I mentioned, But please note that he was near a river. Say a river. Yeah. By the river is a mighty good place to be. It's an excellent place. Why? The river provides all the necessities and elements to live. And as you note, that every major city in the world and its location, look at it, the proximity to water. Sometimes the river can be good, sometimes the river can be bad, but you normally grab a hold of every major city in the world and there is the river factor. And that's an important thing. And Ezekiel's initial meeting with God is by the river. We're going to talk a little bit more about water and talk a little bit more about the river before we close today. But it signifies God's poured out blessing and grace. Now, if you're taking notes, that's what you need to write down. The river signifies God's poured out blessings and grace. I'll repeat that. It signifies God's poured out blessings and grace. I know we're getting a lot of grace teaching nowadays, and even our friends and the Word of Faith movement of years gone by never used to touch on grace, but now we do use this. Camp by the river. If you want grace, camp by the river and God will pour out his blessings and grace. The river of God, here's another one coming up, is a type of the Spirit of God poured out upon the earth. The river of God is a type of the Spirit of God poured out upon the earth. I was researching these notes yesterday and I dug into the good old YouTube. And it came up, there was about 8 minutes and 6 seconds, a song called There Is a River. And I think Robin remembers that. There is a river that flows from God above. And it just opens your heart. So this river of God is a type of the, I'm repeating a lot of this so that you get it. It's a type of the Spirit of God poured out upon the earth. The point that I make is that throughout the Bible, the river, a river, let's go more narrow, water symbolizes the presence of grace of God in a situation. We're going to have a look at a couple of quick examples. Give you one. I haven't got time to go into it. I taught a series on a man called Eliezer. That's all right. Leave it up there, Trav. This Eliezer, it's a most beautiful story. He was a servant of Abraham. At any rate, Abraham got a hold of him and he said, I want you to go and search for a bride for Isaac. That sounds a pretty easy ask. And he did. Off he went, obedient servant. And Eliezer took off and he had a string of camels, supplies, and off he went across the desert. And actually Eliezer found her. Where did he find the bride for Isaac? At the well, where there was water, at the well. She did a couple of other lovely things too. She watered those camels Now, do you know how much a camel drinks? She was sort of, she didn't need to get enrolled at fitness first. She must have been one tough little cookie. I kind of, there's a bit of a dispute on the number of camels that Eliezer had. But the point that I'm making, Eliezer found her at the well. That's a significant point. Ezekiel will say again, going back to him, was at the right place, the right time. Ezekiel was at the right place at the right time. And even with the odds stacked against him, and even if you're listening by internet to this, even if you are sitting in here, and the odds may be stacked against you, encounter after encounter throughout the Bible, you see men and women have these encounters. We've got to factor in water. We've got to factor in water. Signifying God's poured out blessings and grace. Say blessings and grace. And when you have this encounter, when you discover that there's water there, realize and understand and be expecting God's blessing and grace to be poured out in your life. You're going to receive that this morning. God's poured out blessings and grace in your life. Okay. Psalm 1 verse 3, I think Trav's had up for me, which is great, gave you a chance to read it. He, and I will include, he or she shall be like a tree. And where is that tree? Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. And whatever he or she does shall prosper. Where's the tree? Out in the middle of the desert? No. What I'm talking about, understanding where the river of God is flowing and understanding where the presence of God is flowing, and we can call it the river of God, and that's one of the greatest reasons why you need to attend church, because a lot of things you do during the week draw you away from the river, take you away from the river. You get busy. You get busy. And you've got to do all the busy stuff, and the busy stuff pulls you away from the river. People come and ring up and give us all of these lame duck excuses why they can't attend church. And it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all smoke and mirrors. The fact is, if you want the blessings of God, if you want the grace of God, you've got to be near his river. When you drive your car down the road, turn up that music that'll wash over you with his presence in your car, everything you do, and you'll find things will start to change. Okay, here's another little bit more. We're getting along. Joshua chapter 3, and I've got, I think, verse 5 to 10. Now, Travis has got it up there, 5 to 10. I'll read it from this. Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross before the people." Again, they're talking about a transition and a crossing of the Jordan. And so often we find, oh yeah, we read it in the Bible, and we find these crossings. Oh yeah, they're crossing the Jordan. They are crossing the Jordan. What river? There's a transition happening. There's something special happening. So at any rate, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Actually, the Ark of the Covenant, another name for it, and it's something that I've not preached on for a long time, is the Ark of His Presence. He did say in the Word of God, and He teaches there, and he said, build this ark, and He gave them specific instructions how to build it. And He said, put two cherubims on the lid, which we call the mercy seat. And He said, there I will meet with you between those cherubims. You've got to build an ark of His presence in your heart. And God said, there I will meet with you. In building the ark, the instructions of the ark, have a look, and the ark was made of wood and was covered in gold. Gold is the symbol of God's nature and character. So there's another thing you're getting today. So the lid, which is the mercy seat, okay, just call it, doesn't sound much when we call it a lid, but that's what it is, the lid. And on the lid, again, that was covered in gold. And then you had two cherubim mounted either end. And God said to them and gave them the instruction, and that is where I will meet with you. It's between those two cherubim. If you can build that in your heart, girl, anybody here, if you can build that in your heart, God said, that's where I will meet with you. That's His manifest presence. That's revival stuff, love. Yeah. Okay. I need to probably do another one on the presence of God like that, bringing back the ark and carry. I'm getting sidetracked, but that ark got captured and was in another town. And do you know what? The children of Israel worshipped the Lord for about 20 years without the ark. So that meant that they were worshipping without the manifest presence of God in their services. And there's actually a song that came out by Dr. Miller. The ark is coming up the road. It's when King David decided to get the ark back to its rightful place. And what we need to, as churches, bring the ark back to its rightful place. Can't do it with a huge band, can't do it with a 200-piece choir, you can't do it with this, that and the other, with bells and whistles. You can do it with right hearts and clean hearts. All right, dudes, I'm almost finished. So they took up the ark. These guys have got to get over the river. And the Lord said to Joshua, I will this day begin to exalt. You're in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water of Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. It's a necessity when you read your Bible, where you see water, understand that God is doing something. Understand that God has a special assignment. And as he did with Ezekiel way back then, he did with his son on the cross when his side was pierced, blood and water flowed, that we may be free. Let's finish up, Travis. That'll be enough for today, and we'll dig in a little bit more. You're writing lots of notes here.